Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
Bob! Bob!
What?
Bob!
The Bob Seska Show.
I have a new microphone. It's new microphone day. Not really. We're going to be talking a lot about the insurrection today, so stand by. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, January 6, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, day 352 of the Biden-Harris administration, 306 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at the Bob Seska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. All right, let's bring him in. It's the Goth Ninjas. Yeah. It is Jody Hamilton, all new for 22 from the Bunker podcast, patreon.com/from the bunker, and David T-Rex Ferguson from Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Oh, hi, hello. How's my mic sound? Got a brand new mic.
You sound fantastic.
Yes, it's
you sound
like
incredibly hot.
It's
yes.
Does it make my ass look fat?
No, David said. I asked him. I said, "How do I sound on his new Bluetooth speaker headphones?" And yeah. He goes, "You sound thin and beautiful." And that's what I wanted.
Thin
to
and gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Thin
darling.
And gorgeous.
Maybe that'll be your new nickname.
Fab quote, actually.
Like your morning show nicknames: thin and gorgeous. I'm thin and I'm gorgeous. Good morning. 20 minutes after 7, 40 minutes till 8, everybody. Oh, God. Why? We're being silly, but this is a very solemn occasion. This is a very a powerful and infuriating occasion. We're 1 year out from the 1-6 insurrection, and I really want to dig into this today, and I think the best place to start is with President Biden's remarks from the Capitol Rotunda this morning. I've got three clips of this thing, but don't let that fool you. There's so much more to listen to. If you can, after you're done listening to the show, don't interrupt the show. Usually I say, well, you pause the show and go listen to Joe Biden talk. Wait till the show's over and then go listen to the president. But it is important that you do that beyond just the three clips I have here for you. And I'll explain why in a little bit. We're going to talk about Democratic messaging here somewhere in the belly of the show. I think it's going to land. So let's start out here with the first clip. This is basically the opening of the president's remarks at the Capitol Rotunda, speaking about the 1-6 insurrection.
Fellow Americans, to state the obvious, 1 year ago today, in this sacred place, democracy was attacked. Simply attacked. The will of the people was under assault. The Constitution, our Constitution, faced the gravest of threats. Outnumbered in the face of the brutal attack, the Capitol Police, the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department, the National Guard, and other brave law enforcement officials saved the rule of law. Hmm. Our democracy held. We, the people, endured. We, the people, prevailed. For the first time in our history, a president had not just lost an election, He tried to prevent the peaceful transfer of power as a violent mob breached the Capitol. Mm-hmm. But they failed.
Mm-hmm.
They failed. And on this day of remembrance, we must make sure that such attack never, never happens again.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Very, very well said. And
that's my president.
That's just the beginning. Yeah, just the beginning too.
I did not seek this fight brought to this Capitol 1 year ago today. But I will not shrink from it either. I will stand in this breach. I will defend this nation. And I will allow no one to place a dagger at the throat of democracy. We will make sure the will of the people is heard, that the ballot prevails, not violence, that authority in this nation will always be peacefully transferred. I believe the power of the presidency and the purpose is to unite this nation, not divide it, to lift us up, not tear us apart. See, about us, not about me.
Yeah, yeah. And that last part, not about me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Donald. Hello, Donald.
And he never mentioned his name.
Yeah. Calling you out.
The entire time. He never said his name. He just was keeping that name out of his mouth.
Yep.
And apparently, today on the House floor, when Nancy Pelosi was commemorating, only Dick and Liz Cheney were on the floor of the House. Even Kinzinger wasn't there.
That's amazing. Dick Cheney. Who would have thought Dick Cheney would be on the right side of this thing? I never would have
Karl Rove. Yeah. Hi.
Yeah. Karl Rove, too? I didn't know about Rove.
Oh, no, the Wall Street Journal op-ed he wrote today?
I didn't hear about this. What is this? What did he write?
Oh, lordy, lordy.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, Jody. I'm apparently
yeah,
out
I saw
lunch.
The headline, yeah. but I didn't go to behind the paywall because I've
here's well, I actually get it. But he said part of this is on this anniversary. Here's a simple thought experiment: what if the other side had done it? What if in early January 2017, Democrats similarly attired and armed had stormed the Capitol and attempted to keep Congress from receiving the Electoral College results from the 2016 presidential election? Mm-hmm. And he keeps going, hi. If this happened, would some of my fellow Republicans accepted it as merely a protest?
Did he
would
say hi? Did he say hi? Or are you adding hi?
I am adding hi.
That would have been so funny if he had said, hi, hello.
Hi, hello, hi, motherfuckers. No, he continued to write, if this happened, would some of my fellow Republicans have accepted it as merely a protest? Would they have called patriots those charged with violent acts against our country, its laws, and Constitution? Would they have accepted such extra legal means to change the outcome of a presidential election? No, they would not. I'm certain of that. And then he went on to go, they would have been outraged, rightfully so. They would have, you know, they would have had hearings. They would have done what the Democrats are doing and two Republicans so far are doing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why am I agreeing with Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney, and
Karl Rove? And Karl Rove?
I cannot wait to loathe these people again.
I know.
Right?
Because there's so much to loathe, but when they're on the right side of maybe the most important political issue of our time, which is preserving democracy, it's really hard to go for the jugular with those people.
No, I mean, they're right.
Yeah,
I'm never going to argue with somebody who I disagree with 99% of the time when, no, you're right now.
Oh, hey, look, if this had been a band of liberals, and of course, it's silly.
That's what I've been saying all along. If it had been Black Lives Matter storming the Capitol to
put the guard would have been there.
The guard would have been there the day before.
Yeah.
I mean, a guard would have traveled back in time. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, if it had been Democrats storming the Capitol like that, disrupting the electoral vote certification, disrupting Congress, seizing, you know, invading and occupying Congress. Those are the two terms I've been using quite a bit over the past year. Invasion and occupation of Congress. If that had been Democrats, I would have been condemning this just as loudly as I am with it being Republicans. Because each way, they're trying to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power. And there are very few other things in this country. As far as our systems, our traditions, our rules, our constitution, there are very few things that we have in place that are more important politically and for the continuity of our government than the peaceful transfer of power. It sounds really esoteric and kind of vague and maybe too broad to fully grasp as being important, but I assure you, there is nothing more important.
We should start calling it the nonviolent transfer of power to, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's, in fact,
that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, the president said that today, used those words today, the nonviolent transfer of power. I believe he said those exact things.
See, I'm smart.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
Did you write the speech, David? I'm wondering. With one of your fancy schmancy fountain pens, you know. Yeah, but that's so vital because in so many cases throughout human civilization, the transfer of power comes with warring armies and lots of bloodshed. That it doesn't happen. It very seldom happens the way it's been happening here in this country since our founding. And so this is something we got to hold on to. And as we've all said, as we've all observed for the past six painful years, Donald Trump has zero regard for the traditions, the rules, the ways we conduct our government. He has no respect for any of it. And in fact, he ignores all of it because it's all irrelevant to him. If it's not against the law, he's going to fucking do it. If it's not codified in the, and even if it's against the law.
He doesn't care if it's against the law.
Yeah, even if, I mean, there's that too.
It's what he wants.
But he's more, he hesitates
more. He's a grabby baby. He's just all ego. I mean, he just is
grabby baby.
That's exactly what he is.
That's so perfect. Oh, well, here, let's get back to Joe Biden. This is even more powerful, I think, than the previous clip.
And here's the truth. A former president of the United States of America has created and spread a web of lies about the 2020 election. He's done so because he values power over principle, because he sees his own interest as more important than his country's interest, than America's interest. And because his bruised ego matters more to him than our democracy or our Constitution, he can't accept he lost.
Wow.
Even though that's what 93 United States senators, his own attorney general, his own vice president, governors and state officials in every battleground state have all said he lost. That's what 81 million of you did as you voted for a new way forward.
Yep.
He has done what no president in American history, the history of this country, has ever, ever done. He refused to accept the results of an election and the will of the American people.
Fucking A. Yeah.
That was a barn burner of a speech.
That's the way you do it. Yep.
Did you watch it or just hear it?
I watched clips because we had some next level chaos happening here in our place.
No, I mean, I watched it and his face, and he's angry, Joe Biden. I like him.
Yeah. I mean, he said, we just played the clip. He's going to stand in the breach and defend democracy against these thugs who want to overthrow it, replace it with authoritarianism, with this goddamn game show host, this ridiculous cartoon character, this liar con man from Manhattan, as their standard bearer, as the guy.
Queens.
That's what,
Queens.
Exactly.
He's fucking Queens, exactly.
That's what amazes me and will continuously confound me until my dying days, that this movement is all behind this fucking clown. The guy we all recognized as a clown going back to the 70s, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. The national punchline, Donald Trump, fucking Donald Trump. It's like suddenly let's worship at the feet of Mitzelplick from the fucking Super Friends. It's just that ridiculous. And by the way, backwards, it's Slipple Skim. I just wanted to mention that in case he's lurking around here. The only way you can make him go away is to say his name backwards. So that's the rule. Let's see what else. David Jolly tweeted earlier today, no mincing words. Biden this morning declares Trump an enemy of American democracy. And yeah, you're damn right. Meantime, Stephanie Grisham, speaking on New Day after talking to the January 6th committee, said Trump was, quote, gleefully watching the Capitol attack from the White House dining room, hitting rewind and saying, look at all those people fighting for me. Stephanie Grisham, those of you who don't know, was Donald Trump's press secretary for a period of time there.
For like a second.
Yeah. She worked in the press
room. Only press secretary in White House history who did not ever do a live press conference.
Exactly.
Right, right. She was after Huckabee and before Kayleigh McEnany. Yeah, Kayleigh McEnany. Yeah. So that's incredible. Coming from a White House insider, he was gleefully watching the Capitol attack. Because of course, yes, exactly, Jody. Of course he was. This is what he loves. Because he knew that if they were successful, he would come out the winner in all of this. Mm-hmm. All he gives a shit about is what's in it for me. He doesn't care how that happens. He doesn't care how many people go to jail for him. And we're going to be talking about some of the numbers from 1-6 here in just a second. He doesn't mind throwing everybody, including his own family, under the bus. So as he's watching this gang of thugs, these weekend warrior militia cosplayers storming the barricades at the Capitol, invading and occupying Congress, injuring, and again, we're going to have the numbers here in a second, countless Capitol police officers. He's like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably his first erection in maybe two decades.
Do you have to work so blue?
I'm sorry. Why the hell did I go there?
It's gross. My retinas are now gone. I have no sight.
Shit. TV's Frank Conniff had a great quote about today. He said, in honor of the Jan 6 anniversary, do something illegal and embarrassing, then make things easy for law enforcement by posting photos and videos of it. Today should be a somber reflection of what it means to be an absolute dipshit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Frank. Videotaping this crime spree is the best idea we ever had.
Yeah. These fucking morons, too.
Thank God they were so dumb.
I mean, yeah. Look, the history of the internet is checkered by, you know, teenager after teenager giving people swirlies and doing all kinds of obnoxious shit, running video on it, and then getting caught after the fact because they videotaped it and put it up on Facebook. And these chronological grown-ups went in, invaded, occupied the Capitol, and took all kinds of video of it. Like, hey, look at this. It's great for my brand. It's great for my reach on Facebook. Look how many Instagram clicks.
My real estate
firm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wellness spa.
Right. Yeah. Right.
so many.
I would like to talk convenient. Just briefly about cancel culture.
Oh.
In that Trump canceled his press conference today.
Oh, yeah.
The Cobb County Republicans suddenly remembered they had to wash their hair tonight.
Well, what happened was the Republicans started calling Donald Trump and saying, no, do not do this. They're waving flashlights like on the tarmac of an airport.
Right.
Go back to no, don't go anywhere near a microphone or a TV camera. And then, of course, you know, because Donald Trump is ultimately a coward, he ran away. Yeah.
Sir Donald ran away.
Yes, he did.
Ran away, away he did.
Brave, brave Sir Donald.
When reporters asked about what he said, he bravely turned his tail and fled, and he hid right there behind his desk.
And he chickened out. Yes, he did.
I just did a merry little C-jig around the desk now that I have wireless earbuds.
That's so cool. You've got new headphones. I've got new microphone right here. And by the way, Kimberly Johnson does this impression of Chris Matthews. Maybe she'll do it on the after party tomorrow or maybe she'll do it on her show. But every time I've talked about my microphone, my new microphone, which has been quite a bit over the past week since I ordered it, she's always said the word microphone in her Chris Matthews voice. She goes, oh, you got a new microphone. And I was like, yeah, I did. She said, oh, congratulations, you need a new microphone. And it's just like, holy shit, it's ridiculous. It's uncanny how much she sounds like Chris Matthews. And I don't know what that says about Kimberly or Chris Matthews. But speaking of the Republicans flagging Donald Trump away from doing any events today, which, by the way, it's not going to last long. He's going to do all the things that he was going to do today. He's going to do it all during his Arizona rally, which I think is this weekend. Yeah. So get ready, House Sparks. But I think one of the Republicans might have been Ted Cruz. Now, bear in mind, Ted Cruz is going to be running for president against Donald Trump in a year or so. So keep that context in mind when you hear what he had to say in the Senate yesterday.
We are approaching a solemn anniversary this week, and it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol.
That's pretty amazing. He just referred to the insurrection.
It still has an audible level of slime on
it. Yes, well, of course.
Remember always.
That he's introduced the fucking motion to challenge Arizona's results that morning.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's so
yeah.
It's like you were, this was, you know, fuck you, you did this.
Make no mistake. Yeah, you're exactly right,
I mean,
David.
He's really like boiled okra for the ears, you know?
Yummy. But again, running for president in 24, this is the first shot across Donald Trump's big fat bow. I mean, this is what we can expect starting just about a year from now when all the Republicans start throwing their hats, their red hats, into the ring. And so get ready for that. Just a year away. The next presidential election. Just a year away. You can hear the excitement in my voice. It used to be that when there was a presidential election around the corner, I was like a kid at Christmas time. I was having fun. I was playing the MSNBC president music. This, I would play this. And I'm like, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Presidential election coming up. Countdown 12 months away. I can't wait.
Oh, stop.
And now I'm just like, oh,
I'm getting
me.
PTSD. I'm like, let me get a paper bag to breathe in.
But
the presidential
is,
election at this point means we're going to rip open a big gash in the fabric of society and see what ugly shit tumbles out.
Yeah.
You well, know, at the very
things
least.
Things that appall us and disgust us and make us have a hard time sleeping at night.
Yeah.
It depends on the 22 outcome. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big deal.
That's what it depends on. If the 22 outcome is what we hope it will be, then he will not run. He's just going to raise money until they finally figure it out.
And it
but
also,
if 22 turns around to be like not good for the Democrats, mm-hmm. he's going to fucking run.
Plus, there's this RICO case in New York City that the district attorney is opening up. And that's the one that I'm really looking forward to because that mm-hmm. cuts to the heart of Donald Trump's entire con. This is all about enriching himself, and he's not afraid to use mob techniques. I mean, RICO is what they use to go after the fucking mafia. That's the weapon they use, the legal weapon. And now they're going after Donald Trump with that. And so pretty sure thing that there are going to be charges up there. Also, in a secondary way, I think maybe Georgia as well. And then there's absolutely going to be criminal referrals coming out of the 1-6 committee. And we're going to be talking about Merrick Garland here in a second, and fingers crossed on the DOJ front as well. We'll get to that in a second. But first, here are some numbers out of the insurrection. This is from the LA Times. It was compiled by the LA Times. Really interesting stats here for what happened a year ago and what's happened since. Number one, minutes Trump spoke before the siege. That'd be 70 minutes. Pretty damn close. Plus, we remember Alex Jones talking about how he was going to lead the crowd. He was coordinating with the White House and with Secret Service to lead the crowd from the Ellipse to the Capitol building. That's what Alex Jones said either on the day or the day after on his show. Now, granted, Alex Jones, as we have said many, many times on this show, is a big fat liar. But who knows? He may be telling the truth on this one. He's just that dumb. Everyone wanted a piece of it. Everyone wanted to take credit for it before it became one of those things where you go, maybe you should slowly step away from the insurrection. How about that? Yeah, but they're not that smart, as Frank Conniff just said. Number two, rally attendance, thousands, just thousands. Number three, people surrounding the Capitol before the breach, several thousand. Number four, Capitol Police on duty that day, 1,200. 1,200 Capitol Police on duty. Number five, deaths from the insurrection, five. Five deaths. Number six, officers injured, more than 140 officers injured.
Yep.
That's a staggering number. You know, a lot of these guys like to say, well, you know, what happened in Minneapolis or Portland or whatever is just as bad, just as awful.
No, it's not.
No.
No. Apples and wood.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally, there's not even fruit involved in the comparison. It's insane. What happened in Portland and Minneapolis and other places was about people demonstrating against cops killing unarmed black men.
That's right.
Not trying to overturn elections.
Yeah, yeah.
Or be seditious or insurrectionist. I mean, it's I hate that comparison.
I know. There's nothing good about looting and violence. However, there is no comparison between throwing a brick through the window of a Wendy's restaurant versus invading and occupying the United States Congress in order to overthrow an election. These are two remarkably divergent things to do. Yep. Just so we're clear on this, I think it's obvious to everyone listening to this show, but just in case you hear someone draw that comparison, usually out of racist intent, they're absolutely wrong. Mm. There's no...
Usually, no, go ahead and just put the 100% on there.
Yeah, well, I'd also like to
they're
see...
bringing that up. If they go straight from, like, coup attempt to unarmed protesters protesting the deaths of black men, that's just racism.
Well, how many police officers were injured during the BLM protests? I assure you,
zero.
All accumulated, nowhere near 140.
No,
And you say
I don't
zero
even think
there.
Anywhere. My guess is zero because we would have heard about it ad infinitum.
Oh, of course, yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah, Trump would have never shut up about it. When
of course
he was
not.
President.
So
yeah.
if there had been any police officer injured, let alone killed, we would know about that person's name.
Yeah.
And how wonderful they were and all that stuff. We would know that person. That person
they'd be
doesn't
getting
exist.
The Ashley Babbitt treatment.
Exactly. Yeah. They would be honoring that cop like they're honoring a fucking traitorous, seditious.
Yeah.
Who knew better. Mm-hmm. And if she had just complied.
Well, here's another number that I think we lose sight of. Number 7, people arrested, more than 700.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, these are all the foot soldiers. These are all the suckers, the gullible bastards who were fished in by an obvious con man and other obvious con men like the Q guys in the Philippines and so on. But 700 people. So there is justice being served in all of this, even though it might not yet be Donald Trump.
Yes, but we're gonna, operative word.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. Number 8, hours the certification of electors was delayed, more than 13 hours. So maybe that's not the entirety, 13 hours, the entirety of the occupation of Congress, but it was a good chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
You start with a disruption where we see video of people like Mitt Romney and Mike Pence literally running for their lives.
Yeah.
Running members of the Senate, the vice Trump's own handpicked. Well, I don't know if he handpicked him. I tend to think that was Paul Manafort. But suffice to say, Trump's vice president running for his life because he otherwise might have been hanged.
Right.
The same with Mitt Romney. I can only imagine what they would have done to Mitt Romney. Can you imagine?
Anybody that was recognizable to the, you know, rank and file humans in this country was at risk of being murdered.
Right, right. So it's both terrifying and tantalizing, just from a thought exercise point of view, to imagine what would have happened if they had actually gotten their hands on a sitting member of Congress, whether on the Senate side or the House side, and what they might have done to that person. Because certainly they weren't holding back elsewhere in the Capitol building. Certainly they were doing their worst when it came to invading offices and ransacking the chambers and making off with the podiums and so on. Sitting in the chairs at the top of the dais on the House side, you know, where usually the vice president and the speaker of the House sit during the State of the Union addresses.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, cost of the cleanup and repairs, $1.5 million to more than $30 million. That's a hell of a range. I mean, they destroyed. Mm-hmm. This is amazing. These are people who are claiming to have defend democracy. Of course, what they're doing is they're bringing about authoritarianism. They're overthrowing the democratic process. But they claim to love America. They claim to be patriotic American. How many American flags were waving? And yet they destroyed the temple of democracy. They did their best to tear down that place with their fists, with weapons. Jesus, $30 million, upwards of $30 million worth of cleanup and repairs. Number 10, people subpoenaed by Congress, 50 plus. This is the 1-6 committee. And there is, of course, an investigation happening on the Senate side as well that we hardly ever talk about. Because that isn't necessarily a, I don't think that's a select committee on the Senate side. I think that's an established committee just investigating the whole thing. But 50 plus subpoenas happening, and I imagine more to come in the not too distant future. Number 11, Jan 6 related lawsuits involving Trump, at least 5. Let's try for 50. Anyone got 50? Let's have 50 lawsuits. The more lawsuits, the better. The more misery for Donald Trump, the better off this country will be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, if he manages to walk between the raindrops and avoids any sort of legal ramifications by way of prison, certainly his financial life is going to be screwed over because these lawsuits are going to keep rolling in. Number 12, this wasn't in the LA Times, but I figured I'd add this one onto the list of insurrection by the numbers. At least 57 people involved with the events of January 6th are running for elected office. Jesus, these numbers include some who are arrested on charges related to the Capitol attack. At least 11 people who have participated in the Jan 6 insurrection were elected to public office in 2020. So they were already in office, 11 people, ranging from state legislatures to city council to school board. Wow. Holy fucking shit. How's that for scary? That's not just a couple of Q people running, which we've already seen, Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene. These are people who think that the way you achieve the preservation of democracy is at the point of a gun, is with violence, which is nothing about democracy that involves violence. I hate to break it to you. Democracy, as I've been saying over and over again, is a battle of words and votes. Has nothing to do with violence. You want to say, well, the founding fathers, they fought the revolution. There was no democracy when they fought the revolution.
Right. They were living under a monarchy, kids.
Yes.
Remember that.
Remember, no taxation without representation. There was no representation for the colonists in Parliament. There was no democracy. They fought to establish a country in which you would fight these battles using words and votes. That was the whole point of it. All right, we're going to get into more of this in the next segment, including Merrick Garland's remarks from yesterday. I have something to say about Democratic messaging here coming up, because there were some contrarian Democrats on Twitter looking at Joe Biden's remarks and going, not good enough. And I have something to say to those people. That pissed me off, especially after everything we've been discussing since the Virginia election this past November. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, today's show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If there's something just interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, don't worry about it. I've got the solution for you. It's called BetterHelp. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely on the internet. BetterHelp is going to match you with your own licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours. You can log into your account anytime you want and send a message to your therapist and get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you're not ever going to have to sit in a waiting room, possibly getting Omicron. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available too. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, so get ready. Visit BetterHelp.com/Cesca. That's BetterHelp.com/CESCA, and join the over 2 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. And here, your special offer for Bob Seska Show listeners: get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Seska. That's BetterHelp.com/Seska. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show. I've been stuck in the past, but you're always the last one, always the last one to know.
Oh yeah, skyrocketing up the indie charts.
Over the water,
This is a great Dave Moulter brand new single called Approaching the End of Usable Life. So perfect and appropriate for our times, right? DaveMoulterMusic.com to support Dave. And, of course, link in the description under this episode at BobSeska.com. Thanks for supporting all of our indie bands. And, of course, BobSeska.com/music. Submit your stuff to the show. Thank you for doing that in advance. All right, continuing on here. Merrick Garland spoke yesterday. Another instance of, not good enough. Now, I want it now, Daddy. I want it now.
Yep.
We're all turning into Veruca Salt, for fuck's sake. One of the things he said yesterday that caught my attention, Department of Justice remains committed to holding all 1-6 perpetrators at any level accountable under the law, whether they were present that day or were otherwise criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy.
There we go. Hello.
We'll follow the facts wherever they lead. Mm-hmm. And the parenthetical at the end of that remark is, including the former president and mm-hmm. all of his advisors. That's a thing. It's a real thing. You know, look, ultimately, if they don't have the evidence, because as we've seen, these guys, Donald Trump and all of his henchmen, they have a penchant. They have a way about, as I said before, walking between the raindrops, avoiding accountability. This is what Donald Trump has been doing his entire professional life.
Right.
The only time he was ever fully accountable was when he filed bankruptcy and then also lost the 2020 election. Yeah. These are the only
the charity that had to be shut down. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes, there's that too. There's the Trump Foundation.
And
there's
the
Trump
$25 million for Trump University. Yeah.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so forget what I just said about walking through the raindrops. There are other occasions when he's held accountable. But this history tells us that when you combine, the precedent with investigating former presidents and Donald Trump's ability to wiggle out of this shit, there's a slim chance that he could get away with it. I mean, we have to be ready for that because ultimately we are a nation of laws. There is something called mm-hmm. the rule of law. If there's not enough evidence to convict or even to indict Donald Trump right. in front of a grand jury, then it's not going to happen. That doesn't mean he's innocent.
But I just feel like all the evidence is right there in front of us.
Yes, of course.
He said to the people, we're going to walk down to the Capitol.
Yes.
We're going to walk down. Walk down to the Capitol.
The honking. Oh, God, the honking.
Well, the thing is like it's going after anybody that's powerful mm-hmm. is hard enough.
Yeah.
But it's an ex-president.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse than going after Bill Gates or O.J. Simpson or other people that have money and influence. He was the president, like it or not.
Yep. Yeah.
And we literally, I've been joking about this. We have to cross our I's and dot our T's. Mm-hmm. Because if this is not to perfection, it won't happen.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We'll get out of it.
And by the way, he did prosecute Timothy McVeigh. And Nichols.
Oh, yeah.
And none of those convictions were overturned. The man knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. It's remarkable to see people who otherwise understand how the law works going, why didn't he stand up there and say, I'm going after Donald Trump personally, so watch
because
out.
Because he can't. Don't tell the subject that you're going after. Yeah. You don't tell the target.
Right.
Maybe he should have just made the Law and Order sound before he started speaking and people would have taken it seriously.
And this right. Think about it. As AG was saying, oh, God, Lonnie is on the roof on my garage.
Oh, no. He's not going to pull a Clark Griswold, is he?
I hope
with
not.
The ladder.
It's nice out. It's sunny out. So, anyway, the thing is between this and Watergate, which is what he did refer to as well, Watergate had a lot less people to go after.
Yeah.
A lot less. There weren't 1,000 plumbers.
Mm hmm.
Right.
Okay. So he's prosecuting 700 people. So the department is prosecuting 700 people so far. There's another 300 or so people that they're still trying to find.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With limited resources.
The guy from Bob's Burgers finally lost his fucking job.
Wait, one of the voice actors from Bob's Burgers was involved
Jimmy
in the
Pesto.
Why am I so out of the fucking loop today?
Where have you been?
I don't know. Because you spent half your life on Twitter yelling at people.
That could be why.
Or the last 3 days taking cold showers. Yeah, because
the voice actor that voiced Jimmy Pesto,
yeah.
who's restaurant is across the street from Bob's Burgers. He and Bob Belcher, Jimmy and Bob, have this rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Tina loves Jimmy Jr.
Okay.
So it's a little Romeo and Juliet kind of thing.
I see. All right.
So I think they should just kill Jimmy Pesto off because they've never brought the wife on. And so then you have Linda Belcher and Mrs. Pesto having a rivalry. I'm writing this for them right now. But no, he finally lost his gig because he was the fucking thing. He was outed about, 8-9 months ago. And finally, Bob's Burgers fired him.
Okay. Thank God. Oh, Jesus.
You think?
Merrick Garland continued by saying, "The actions we have taken thus far will not be our last. The department remains committed to holding all Jan 6 perpetrators at every level accountable under the law, whether they were present that day or were otherwise criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy." Fucking A.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think that's pretty strong. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I seem to be out of touch. It seems strong and powerful to me. It seems like, you know what? I'm playing my cards close to the vest, but yeah, don't worry about it. We're going after the big guys. We're going after the architects.
It took
of this
2 years to get to Nixon, for fuck's sake. Yeah, and again, they didn't have 1,000 plumbers to go after.
But look who was prosecuted. Look who eventually did prison time out of Watergate. And that was just the bugging of the Democratic National Committee headquarters. This is an invasion and occupation of Congress. And in that case, in Watergate, everyone from the architect of the break-in, G. Gordon Liddy, all the way up to the attorney general, all went to fucking prison over Watergate. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big deal. So there is precedent. Even if Donald Trump somehow gets away with it, that doesn't mean Mark Meadows and Steve Bannon and some of these other rat bastards are going to skate too.
No, they won't.
I would be very afraid if I were those people. I'd have a go bag ready.
Yeah.
Because they might have to flee the country under an assumed identity. I'm just saying that would be my favorite thing for
Donald Trump. Anyone wouldn't recognize Steve Bannon.
Yeah. That's
right. Everyone would be like, "Wait, is that a heap of oily rags in the garage? Or is it Steve Bannon?"
Look, David, if he just took one shirt off, nobody would know.
Look, that carbuncle is dressed like a woman. He's trying to get on that flight. What is that? Oh, my God, that oozing carbuncle. Stop him. He's an oozing carbuncle. Thank you.
He is an oozing carbuncle. That's it. That's the name of the show. Oozing carbuncle.
I'm a little nauseous now. Thank you, me. Garland also invoked Watergate, signaling that the Department of Justice intends to hold the pawns and the masterminds accountable, says Mueller, she wrote, just as the DOJ did during Watergate. If that weren't his intention, he wouldn't have invoked Watergate. So thank you, AG, at Mueller, she wrote, right? And she's been on top of this.
I thought for a second you said Mueller, she wrote, and I was thinking, like, Mueller? We're going to have, like, no, like an Iranian, you know, imam who goes places on vacation and people keep dying and he solves the mysteries. Sorry.
That might end up being the title of the show, Mullah Shiro.
Mullah Shiro. I'm sure Allison will love that.
Yes, I seriously doubt it. I think Allison will hear that and go, stop, don't.
Oh, I think she'd laugh. She's got a good sense of humor. She'd laugh.
Goth ninjas, stop it. Oh, shit, that's funny.
Fucking shock collars. I'm going to renegotiate my contract about these.
Mueller, she wrote. Holy shit. Okay, I want to talk about this very briefly. And you guys know, I like Elie Mystal. He's, of course, one of the members of the Stephanie Miller Extended Cinematic Universe. He's a regular on the show. I really enjoy his Twitter feed. I enjoy his passion. I enjoy his hair. I enjoy everything about Elie Mystal.
His hair is awesome.
But today, I feel
that
like...
It sounds like something you'd say on Ecstasy. I really enjoy your hair.
Well, he's got great hair.
He does.
I wish my hair were that thick. I'm so jealous. But, you know, sometimes he gets a little contrarian and is kind of like folding his arms and going, yeah, impress me. Just do it. Try to impress me. And that drives me bananas. So, like, today, after the president's speech, Elie Mystal's remark was, I would have liked this Biden speech better a year ago. I said, okay, look.
First off, a year ago, he wasn't in office.
Yeah. Well, and also, right.
Point.
Yeah, there is that point.
Point to Jody Hamilton, yes.
Yeah.
Correct for two marks. Yeah.
But also, 1 year ago today, he did deliver these kinds of powerful remarks. For example, he said, "Let me be clear. The scenes of chaos at the Capitol do not represent who we are. What we are seeing is a small number of extremists dedicated to lawlessness. This is not dissent. It's disorder. It borders on sedition, and it must end now." He also said, "I call on President Trump to go on national television now to fulfill his oath and defend the Constitution by demanding an end to this siege." But at the end of the remarks, he said, "So President Trump, step up." So yes, Joe Biden delivered strong, powerful remarks about all of this a year ago, but I feel like since November, and in fact going back years before that, it's been a perennial thing that we've been griping about in the Democratic Party, which is better messaging, please. Where's the good messaging, Democrats? Why can't the Democrats deliver good messages? Well, here's the president today delivering unequivocally his most powerful remarks to date. And you can include the inauguration in that. You can include State of the Union addresses. This was Joe Biden's shining moment as a public speaker, as a leader in this country. And here you go. Messaging for you. Democrats here. Great messaging. Lots of quotable things here, whether it's little short things or much larger things that you can use in ads, that you can use in memes, that you can use in tweets. You can spread all over social media. And the reaction to it from Democrats is, meh. That makes me crazy. And that makes me think that no matter how good the messaging is, we're still going to be like, not good enough.
Right.
It's so annoying.
Well, I feel like it's always a percentages game.
Yeah, yeah.
There are some people who, I mean, you know, not to put too fine a pun on it, that, you know, being contrary butters their bread.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So it's, you know, well, it's not like, everyone goes as far as Glenn Greenwald.
That's a completely different ball game with him.
It is. It's like a kid at Christmas going, "Thank you for the bicycle, but I wanted a Schwinn, not this piece of shit you got me." I mean.
Yeah. Again, not good enough, not good enough.
Not good enough. Not good enough.
And that's what and it's not specific to Ellie or any.
It's more
any,
like, you gave me a bicycle and I wanted a unicorn. God damn it.
Right, fucker. How dare you?
Ever.
You gave me a pony.
Glitter.
You gave me a pony and not a unicorn. How dare you?
Yeah, that's
It's such bullshit, you know? It's like, fuck you.
Yeah, and again, that goes to my thesis that sometimes I believe that Democrats, and I'm not singling out Ellie necessarily in all of this. I think we all have a part of this in our value systems, in our personalities, that when there's a great message that's coming from the party establishment, we're kind of too independent in our thought to go, yeah, look what the Democratic Party is saying. Because, of course, we're going to get labeled an apparatchik for the party, a rubber stamp for the party, you know, an apologist for the party. I mean, for 8 years, I was a supporter of Barack Obama. He was my guy. I mean, in the history of my following politics, there has been no other candidate who has spoken to me quite like Barack Obama. Suffice to say, big fan. And I think I can justify that given enough time. There's lots of things to use to justify it.
But you However, will still admit that he's fallible. You do not claim that Barack Obama walks on water. You don't have pictures of him all over your house.
No, I wasn't drawing angelic paintings of him or anything like that. I wasn't doing that. But at the same time, I was perpetually labeled as an Obama bot. That's all I got. Because I was saying, hey, look, this is good news. The economy's doing well. Or look at the economy improving. Look at the deficit going down. Look at this great health care bill that was just passed. And here's why it's great. Oh, why are you such an apologist for the Democratic Party, Bob? Or an apologist for Barack Obama? You're an O-bot, Bob. You're a card-carrying O-bot. Cenk Uygur used to say that about me all the time. There's nothing that Barack Obama does or says that Bob won't defend. It's just like, oh, fuck off. And it's like, well, why don't the Democrats have great messaging? Well, if a great message falls in the forest and there's no one around to repeat it, does it make a sound? No. No, it doesn't. So this kind of...
Okay, that line was worthy of, like, broadcast news. I feel like that was, like, that needs to go into whatever screenplay you finally write.
Yeah, that's right.
When a great message falls in the forest. Yeah. I can just see Holly Hunter saying that with, like, tears in her eyes.
Yeah, it's like, oh, God, I watch too many Aaron Sorkin things, I think. Okay, there's more to talk about here coming up, including a bit about Sebastian Gorka.
Greetings.
And I've ordered some nachos and a lovely charade.
And of course, whenever I see a Sebastian Gorka story and the Thursday show is coming up, I'm like, oh yeah, David's going to be here and we're going to talk about Gorka. Yeah. All right. Well, if you're only listening to
Dr. Gorka.
All right, well, if you're only listening to the free portion of the show, which is what you're doing right now, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or whatever, you're only hearing the first hour of the show, the first two acts of the show. You're missing the third act. There's an additional 20 minutes of show after the end credits at the end of every Tuesday and Thursday show, and it's all happening on our Patreon page. Of course, I'm talking about the Shadow Docket podcast at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or simply BobSeskaShow.com. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, and it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. We're going to be talking about Tucker Carlson and why he's suddenly the purveyor of masculinity somehow. We're going to be talking about that on the Shadow Docket today. That's going to be fun.
The arbiter of manliness, Tucker Carlson.
That's right. Manly man, Tucker
Fluffy
Carlson.
Fluffy little dough ball that he is.
I can't wait.
I mean, he practically drips flour. He's just ready to be thrown into some boiling oil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And plus, another Republican has been arrested for underage sex trafficking. That's on the Shadow Docket today, too. The Shadow Docket drops every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and it's only going to cost you $5 per month, and you'll be supporting this fully independent podcast. Don't miss out. Again, it's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends. And we thank you in advance.
Bob Seska!
Hippies in the black belt, where are they now? We thought the racist devil was put to rest somehow. Slouching in towards Gethsemane, 30 pieces of silver and gold, waiting on the tribal clans of old.
Oh yeah, so perfect for today. This is the brand new single from Will Kimbrough. This is a song called I Don't Want to Start a War. Killer lyrics in this one. I just love it. I love it so much. WillKimbrough.com. Link in the description under this episode to support Will, to support Dave Moulter, to support all of our independent recording artists here on the show. And as I said before, BobSeska.com/music to submit. All right, moving along here on the show. Let's see. As I said before the break, Sebastian Gorka is about to go through some things. Yeah. Gorka. Hello, I'm Sebastian Gorka. Gorka. My last name is Gorka. I am the Gorka. I am the king of all Gorkas. You can call me Gorka Reno. Just don't call me the dude. All right, so the 1-6 committee is seeking Sebastian Gorka's phone records. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, they're going to be triangulating around all of the architects of the 1-6 insurrection, including information from Sebastian Gorka, his phone records.
Did you guys see Shaun of the Dead?
Yes, I love that. I love
Shaun of the
Dead.
He's talking to his mother, and she's just, she says the zombies, she's like, they're very bitey.
Yes. Holy
and
shit.
I'm just thinking Sebastian Gorka's phone records from 1-6. He's like, oh, they're very fighty. I shouldn't have left my room at the Hilton. You know, like. Where's the buffet? You know, just. Oh.
I hope I deleted my entire Pornhub history from my phone. So, you know what?
God, it's, you know, if there's anyone who's into underage hentai, it's fucking Sebastian. Like,
the 1-6 committee's gonna find my tentacle porn.
I do love a cromulent bit of tentacle porn.
I love it. I love
a
it.
A delicious bit of hentai.
Sebastian Gorka. Allegedly. We're saying this allegedly. And who's alleging it? We're alleging it because we're joking. We're joking about it. Just so he doesn't sue us. for saying he's into tentacle porn. We have no evidence that Sebastian
You'll
Gorka...
hear from my lawyer.
But maybe we can
my
get...
My solicitor.
Maybe we can get Sebastian Gorka to deny that he enjoys tentacle porn on Pornhub.
Yeah.
See, that would be an accomplishment.
We're just asking questions.
We're just saying.
Asking questions like, yeah. Tucker Carlson. What?
Right. It's like that lower third under Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm. With the, it's always got the question mark at the end, right?
Right.
Why does Sebastian Gorka love tentacle porn? What is hentai? And why does Sebastian Gorka like hentai, apparently?
Why? Apparently. We don't know. I mean, we're just asking.
Well, they're going to get us.
People are saying,
that's right,
people
that's right.
People are saying, yeah.
Let's see what else here. Mike Pence might be called to testify too. Benny Thompson has his sights set on Pence. And of course, this is obviously going to happen. This is something Mike Pence has to testify in this. If they don't get Mike Pence, they're out of their fucking minds. I mean, Mike Pence.
Well, he may not
just
do
imagine,
it, but his staff has already testified. So
yeah, they're already
there. Yeah,
it's already done deal.
So. I mean,
interrogating Mike Pence, I just imagine like the good cop, bad cop thing, except it's just a glass of milk sitting there in the chair. They're like, where were you on the night of January 5th?
Glug, glug, glug.
Exactly.
They're questioning Mike Pence, who's just a glass of milk sitting on the dais, and
in a pale blue suit.
Right, and then there's a staffer who's blowing a straw into it. So it goes. Right, so there's Mike Pence. Thank
right,
you.
And then they transcribe that, like, yeah. as his testimony.
Yes, Mike Pence sat before the 1/6 Commission today. Here's a bit of his testimony.
We're being very sick.
Just a guy blowing bubbles into a glass of milk. Oh, shit. Hey, does Ron DeSantis have COVID? What do you guys think?
I think so. Did you see that thing today?
He was yeah. Really,
his breathing was super labored.
Yeah. You know what it sounded like? I watched it a couple of times. First of all, it sounded like he was holding back tears, but he wasn't talking about anything that would involve any kind of emotion right. like that.
No, he's talking about manufacturing is the gateway to the future.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever gotten to that situation where you're delivering important remarks or something, or you're being interviewed? This happens to me every once in a while, especially if I'm nervous going into something, where I'll inhale, but I'll forget to exhale while I'm talking. And I'll be like, ah. And it's just your voice starts to fall apart, and
right.
that's
oh,
all to
check
say.
The lead singer,
yeah,
like you get on stage and the band kicks in and you're dancing just a little bit too hard.
Yeah, exactly.
And you get up to the mic to sing and you're completely winded.
Yes,
mm-hmm. and
right.
there's nothing you can do about it for the whole song. And
yeah.
You, ugh, God,
so you're taking little shallow breaths, right, between words yeah. or something like that,
and
in order to not pass
for
out.
For writing so many words so close together.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what he sounded like. He sounded like he couldn't catch his breath. He couldn't get enough air into his lungs. And that's another indication. We haven't really covered it on the show because, well, we were off for 2 weeks. But he disappeared. He vanished.
Yeah,
and there have been all kinds of rumors, haven't there, about why he just disappeared, didn't tell anyone where he was going.
He was just trying to get more bugs into his human suit. Sprung a leak and some fire ants came out through an ear or something.
Right.
We were just like, that's what's going on. All the bugs are like, his human suit is itchy today because there's like...
Well, meantime, it's still a mystery with Ron DeSantis. We don't know what's going on with him, but it's possible that he had COVID and was maybe even on a respirator because he's definitely having trouble breathing. His latest public remarks just couldn't catch his breath. This is very strange, very strange. I mean, he's not the greatest public speaker in the world. Make no mistake. No. I mean, he's kind of an average politician. He barely won the governor's race in Florida. I mean, by the skin of his fucking disgusting teeth. But it could be anything, but it indicates to me this is something respiratory related. You know, it was like with Donald Trump and the Jerusalem speech when, you know, it might have been his might have been that he had a stroke.
And God bless.
Or not, yeah. Or it could have been his teeth or something.
OK, Grandpa, let's get you back into the day room.
Right. Oh, shit. So meantime, there's something happening where the flu is combining with COVID to create something called Flurona. How about that shit? And it's been
heard it, yeah.
It's been spotted in L.A. L.A., the first case of flu-rona has been detected at the Getty Center. So,
well, that's where I got my PCR test, was at the Getty Center.
Oh, shit. I hope you didn't
my
get flu-rona.
My question is, where is this happening? Is this like two? A person just gets infected with both at the same time?
Yeah, that's what they're calling it. Basically, because
it's not a mutant, like super mega man organism.
Because the same test, you can detect the flu.
Oh, I see.
As well as the coronavirus. It's the same test, only they go a little bit higher up in your nose for the flu.
Okay.
Because it's not as respiratory. God. So it's like how I do my, because like when I did my tests, because I was exposed, did not catch it, thankfully, because of masks and vaccinations. But the first test I took was at home and I pithed my brain and it came out negative. And then I went to across the Getty Center where it's 911covidtesting.com for anybody that lives here.
Yeah.
And it's right across the street from the Getty Center on Sepulveda. And he was so gentle.
He was gentle.
He was so gentle.
But you stabbed your own brain.
I told him that. Exactly. He was like, he goes, okay, here I go. And I'm like, you're gentler than I am. And he said, thank you. And I said, no, thank you. And then the third test, I again pithed my brain because I'm like, I don't know what I got.
Yeah.
Exactly. And all three came out negative. But I guess that's because that test can also test for the flu. So most likely because it's flu season, they're probably running both tests.
Yeah, it could be. Well, the patient was described
only
as
calling it flu-rona? Why not just fluvid?
Fluvid,
it would be better. No one uses coronavirus anymore. But in fact, on a couple of occasions of the past, I don't know, 24, 48 hours, I've seen people on Twitter still using the term the Rona, which is like, oh, welcome to May of 2020 with the Rona. We've all moved on. We're calling it COVID. Well, I don't know.
Well, how about they call
it
co-flu?
Maybe they just skipped fluvid because it's already like a chemotherapy medicine. They're about to roll out like a big pharmaceutical thing.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Ask your doctor if fluvid is right for you. Side effects include.
Well, this is a teenage boy with mild symptoms who tested positive for both flu and COVID. So, you know, maybe it's just something where if someone has flu and COVID at the same time, they're spreading both, but it's not like they've intertwined and formed this monster virus.
No, it's not become
virus.
Because those are two vastly different viral viruses. Yeah. I don't think they commingle yet.
No, thank God. Thank God for it.
I got tested today because one of my coworkers at the bakery came up positive.
Oh, and that's right.
The only person. But we all wear masks at the bakery. We're all vaccinated. And, like, nobody else has turned up positive. Which I'm sure, like, he has been probably... He's, like, the sweetest guy.
Yeah.
And who knows, like, how he came into contact with it. But, like, he was so worried that he'd gotten any other people sick.
Do you have the psychosomatic thing like Kimberly and I have? Because every time we go out, one of us goes out or we both go out. Or we had guys in here 3 days in a row to fix our hot water heater. So every time they leave, we're like, I feel like I have COVID now. And that's the psychosomatic.
I don't do that.
You know.
It happens to me every time I come home from H&M. And I think some of it maybe just be like dust and lint from freshly manufactured clothes.
That's probably it.
Making my nose run and stuff. But I have a mask on like bolted to my face the whole time I'm there.
Well, yeah, but with me, like, I'm wearing three masks now. A surgical mask, a three-layer cloth mask, and then another mask. And so now I'm getting mask-ny. You know, acne.
Yeah, that's not good. I think you're overdoing it a little bit there.
Well, LA, our fucking COVID rates are so high right now. I'm not even risking it.
How do you breathe?
Yeah.
Because when the maintenance guys come in, I put on two surgical masks.
I'm fine. I walk with that on. Today I was walking and talking on the phone, going, I need to slow down my walk so I can talk because I had all the masks on. But, I'm not fucking risking it. People are like, when I'm outside, they're like, why are you wearing masks? I'm like, don't want to get it. Don't want to give it.
I actually wear three masks. I wear two on my face and one on my penis.
Well, there's
so
that.
So it's actually three.
Is that what they use for nude scenes?
Right. A merkin for the lady. If she's very well shaved, you got to get a merkin depending on the time period of the piece. Yeah.
The challenge is finding a place to strap the loops to. I mean, where do I
That's
loop
also,
that?
Yeah.
Loops where go. Do loop where do the loops go? Shit. All right. Well.
Where do penis loops go? Do they find their way home? Sorry.
All right, the Shadow Dockets coming up next on our Patreon page. Get your asses over there. $5 a month to get two Shadow Docket shows every week. And it's money well spent. It's a bargain at twice the price. We pass the savings on to you. If you're feeling really saucy, maybe sign up at $10 a month, too, because then you get the after party. In addition to the Shadow Docket shows, you also get the after party. And that's fun. We love the after party.
Tune into the after party tomorrow. You will get to hear Kimberly's Chris Matthews.
Yes, that's right. Microphone. Bob's got a new microphone. Love that. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.